Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
This is Funpod. My name is Michael and I welcome you to episode 265 of our podcast. At the Consulfood 2020 conference in Faro, I met Luther Kruger from Minneapolis in the United States. In 2004, Luther started his way into the solar cooking world by reading the book Cooking with the Sun, written by Beth and Dan Hellesy. After that, he built his first 5 box cookers, and almost from the beginning, Luther began collecting all types of solar cookers. Meanwhile, his hoard is so voluminous that he is thinking about setting up his own museum. 2 years ago, Luther started bringing together his experiences of his day job with the Minneapolis Police Department, where he works as a community organizer, helping neighborhood groups work out crime prevention strategies, with his passion for solar cooking, and began to host solar brunches in his backyard. In the next 20 minutes, we can hear his impressive story.
Yeah, well, I'm Luther Kruger. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the center of the United States. At the north, end. And I've always been interested in the environment ever since I was a kid, reading Ewell Gibbons and Rachel Carson and all the fundamental research done on all the horrible things being done to the planet in the name of money and corporations and all that. And so it was a natural extension of that to, once I discovered solar cookers, to make that a bigger part of my life. In 2004, I happened to be visiting my brother, who was in the Navy in Norfolk, Virginia. And about half a block from his condominium was a store called Tomorrow's World. It was a store with solar panels, wind power, composting toilets, all the stuff if you wanted to get entirely off the grid. And in the window was a sun oven. Mm-hmm. And I'd visited Mark several times, and the store was always closed. And I thought, well, maybe it's that niche thing where he's just not making it as a business. Well, the last time I visited Mark, as he was about to retire from the Navy, the door was open, and the guy was moving stuff out onto the sidewalk. I thought, well, okay, he's liquidating. And I ran into him, and he said, no, I'm expanding to the next door because business is really good. It's expanding. I'm never here because I'm installing solar panels all over the state of Virginia and wind power. And I was a little skeptical, and I pointed to the sun oven and asked, does it really work? He said, I wouldn't sell it if it didn't work. And by the way, here's a book. Just have a book. And he gave me a copy of Dan and Beth Hallisey's Cooking with the Sun, which has the model for that 3060 box cooker, just made out of plywood, cardboard insulation, glass cover, and aluminum foil panels. Got home, and I made 5 of them because my wife has 5 brothers and sisters, all having their kids. So for our nieces and nephews, we made 1 for each of the families and distributed them. And then now and again, I'd see one on the web and just started buying them. Before you knew it, I was collecting. And that's when people ask, well, what do? You sell them? No, that's the one thing I don't do. I collect, use, and promote in my day job with the Minneapolis Police Department. I'm a community organizer, helping neighborhood groups work out crime prevention strategies. Well, so I'm using my background with that to start to apply it to promoting solar cooking in the Minneapolis area. So that's kind of a summation of it. Individual projects that I've been working on the last 2 years, I've been trying to anticipate my retirement from my civil service job and do this more as full-time as I can. So I started 2 years ago hosting solar brunches in my backyard. Just invite some of the neighbors. You have a few people interested in the environment. We have a president of Minneapolis's climate change organization sent out the invitation to them. And I've had as few as 4 or 5 people and as many as 15 come on a Saturday. I have to wait till Thursday because the weather patterns in Minnesota are very unpredictable. And if Thursday, the forecast says that Saturday will be sunny, then I just call the brunch. And at 8 o'clock, I start cooking stuff, set out as many cookers as I can, and chairs and tables. And I usually have something done by 10 o'clock when I say that's when the brunch will start. So people have something solar cooked right away, and they see all the other stuff cooking. I've been very successful. I mean, it's a modest effort, but every now and again, you have someone I hear back from that, hey, I went and got a cooker of my own use, and you know, want to bring some friends. And so I'll have repeat visitors, and I'll have people bring friends over to show. My favorite story is I think it was my third brunch, and a family that organized a community garden at our neighborhood school attended with their two daughters, ages about 6 and 8. And each of them brought their own egg. And so, because they were going to see how these cookers worked. And the first one takes the egg and cracks it above my Simplicity parabolic. And like in the cooking shows where they drop it from 3 feet up. And of course, it was halfway in the pan and half in the cooker. So I got another egg. We cooked her egg. So the next daughter cooked her egg. They ate their eggs. And they appeared to be satisfied. Well, I knew I made a convert because the next brunch, the one daughter was the first one running up the ramp with a batch of chocolate chip cookie dough. So, okay. And we cooked that toward the end of the brunch. We had that cooked and ready. And in the meantime, everyone's suggested other avenues to get promotion out there. And so for the spring of 2020, I'll be doing a couple of community education classes. People can sign up for them online. And they're in the evening, but I'll have the main cookers that I'll bring to just a high school in Minneapolis and present. So otherwise, I've done the farmer's market, the neighbor to the south of us. This year, I hope to do a handful of them. The one rule is simply, will it be sunny? Yes, then I will be out there. If there's enough sun to get a cooker going, I'll be out there. I learned that from Joe Radabaugh in his book, Heaven's Flame, where he said, you know, you don't want to be doing it too much in the rain or in the cloudy days. People can make fun of it. You know, that's fine. But I'd really rather be out there and make sure there's a success sitting in front of them. So, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell.
It's a wonderful story.
Yeah, yeah. And my collecting has been the kind of the driving force because as you're aware, recording the history of solar cooking in your podcast, there's so little that's known about it. And the more the new people know about the history, the sooner they can get to the cookers that work, the cooker that's appropriate for their situation, and just to learn how much thought has gone into it. And if they despair about the condition of the world right now, well, there's always been, if it's a small group of people or a larger group of people that has been very interested in it and have put together cookers that work. Mm-hmm. And anyone can use them. I've now and again, I feel like I've been challenged. Sarah Hjalmarsson with her own podcast or her own videos. And the one day she posts on Facebook, have you ever cooked a souffle? Mm-hmm. And my initial thought was, oh, here's this chef trying to browbeat me. You know, trying to say, oh, you know, can you really cook everything in a solar cooker? I knew that she knew that she could. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, I haven't. So the next brunch, I cooked souffles. And 6 savory souffles and 6 sweet. And the savory ones, all but one of them stayed up. They didn't collapse. So, okay, score one for...
I hope you took pictures.
I do. I have pictures of them. Yes, yes. And the sweet ones, not so much, but they were like bread pudding. I mean, they were perfectly edible. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that people ask, well, can you cook this or that and the other? I said, well, come to my brunch. You bring the ingredients and we'll cook it. And we've cooked just about everything you can mention. My first favorite one was risotto, where you know, I had the SK-14 parabolic cooking the main risotto and then the 750 right next to it, keeping stock hot. So mm-hmm. you keep ladling the stock and letting it absorb and use that for a supper where we had extended family over. Mm-hmm. And it was enough to feed about 15 people and it was 8 and it was all eaten up. So,
great.
So I take that to heart.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do you also use these baskets to keep it warm, insulation?
I have just started that. In fact, interesting story, because I'm collecting, I try to get the most unique cookers and have them on display. And I discovered the Sun Dish in Milind Kulkarni in India that put it together. It's basically a funnel, kind of an oblique funnel, that's mounted on a platform that you can hang from your apartment balcony or out a window. It's intended to be one of those that's just right outside your dining room window. So that's what I did. I got one, mounted outside, And what was the original question?
These baskets.
Oh, the baskets, yeah. So he sent it to me from India, and it came in this massive crate because it takes up some room, and it's fully made. It's not a kit. And the crate must be 3 feet by 3 feet, about a meter by a meter, maybe a little bit less deep,
yeah.
But with a good solid lid, hinges, and wheels, even with wheels, shipped. So, which is good because the cooker arrived safely. Well, I thought, what am I going to do with this? And then I saw the hay box cookers. I forget the name of the woman in Africa that makes them with the real floor designs.
Faustine.
Yes. And so I thought, well, now's the time. How am I going to do it? And I thought, I've got this crate. I'll just line it with used cloth, cover that with really nice looking stuff to decorate it. And I made three tubes to fit the big pots in, and then four on the side just for canning jars.
Mm-hmm.
So I get them up to boiling and put them in there, and it finishes cooking in there. So that's all set. And I had enough room left over to have complete sets of silverware for my demonstrations. So mm-hmm. I can literally wheel it out onto the street if I want to. And as I'm cooking away, just put stuff in there and get another thing going. And so I'm just starting to do that. It's the one thing I didn't really think of until I got the sun dish and saw the post.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you also experienced with solar dryers?
No. Well, yes and no. My father-in-law, my wife's parents, live with us. And he put together a solar dryer to dry herbs that we grow in our garden.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done that mostly, but we've been talking about expanding it because the model that he has, it literally it's two or three trays.
Mm-hmm.
But we could just keep going up and up and up and add trays, and our garden has been more and more productive every year. He's just got the green thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the future, to expand on that, on what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping this spring we can get to that project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you started telling about your work at the police department and making your neighborhood a bit more peaceful, what I understood, is this solar cooking maybe a tool for reaching this goal? Can you combine it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, one of the early projects for crime prevention in our neighborhood is a walking crime watch group. And the harshest term for it is citizen patrol.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an extension of the police department. It's just going out and being watchful, mm-hmm. and having flyers ready for people saying, hey, get involved with the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You have a community garden on a vacant lot, it deters crime because you have people that are watchful.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go out on a walk, we're not looking for criminals. We're looking to just expand the connection with the neighborhood. So mm-hmm. we're building community as we do it.
Yeah.
So being able to reach out to people and say, come to the brunches, bring this back to your block, bring this back to your neighborhood association.
Yes.
We feel like we're strengthening those connections, certainly.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. Great. How did you come in contact with this conference? How did you find it?
I just saw the posting online mm-hmm. for it. In fact, I think I saw references to the 2016 conference
mm-hmm.
about the same time the 2018 conference was already underway.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite ready to dive in mm-hmm. at that time.
Yeah.
But like I say, in the last 2 years,
yeah.
I've just been, it's been exploding in
yeah.
my life.
Yeah.
And so I told Joe, my wife, we got to get to that conference 2020, because I know it's only 2 years,
yeah.
every 2 years, and
yes.
and I'm ripe for learning as much as I can and connecting with the people who are really doing a lot,
yeah.
a lot more than I am, volume-wise, anyway. I mean, I feel like what I'm doing is important, but to learn from the people that have gone to different cultures, different countries, have experimented with several different types of cookers, I just still have so much to learn.
Mm-hmm. Are you connected with other solar cooking enthusiasts in your city, in your state, or in the U.S. as a whole?
Well, in the U.S., actually, more so than locally. We're starting to really
yeah.
build that locally.
Yeah.
We set up a Facebook page just
yeah.
for our state of Minnesota, and we might have 50 members, of which 5 or 6 are in Minnesota. But you know how that goes. Everyone joins in just to get, you know, learn the tricks of the trade. Mm-hmm. But I've been networking with, especially with people that make them or like to distribute them. Mm-hmm. For instance, formerly owned by Nathan Perry, the Cantina West mm-hmm. group in Utah. Mm-hmm. I actually teach a class at Metropolitan State where one student looked it up and found that Utah in Minnesota, in the U.S., had the highest per capita sales of solar cookers. Mm. Well, I had already met with Nathan a couple times for lunch to go pick up a cooker directly from him because I have relatives in that area.
Yeah,
I take a road trip. So I kept in touch with him up to the point where he sold the company. And then whenever there's a cooker that maybe it's on Craigslist or eBay where they're maybe not willing to ship it,
yeah,
I'll say, well, let me drive out there. It's 2 days away. That's fine. You know, I'm that much of a maniac. Or as Sarah Hjalmarsson posted on her website when I made mention of one unique thing that she did that I really loved. I posted on the Facebook, but then she reposted on her site, asked me for permission first, and she said, Luther Kruger, the Solkuckfantast, in the Swedish term, or something. Okay, that's my official title now.
Yeah, perfect.
And with the collecting going on, Joe and I have joked that we've got a little museum, and we call it the Big Blue Sun Museum of Solar Cooking, because our house is blue, and we're thinking someday that might just be a reality. I've got 3 years before I can step out of public service and maybe do that. So that might be my calling. It'd be an odd place for a museum for solar cooking in Minnesota, where 4 or 5 days out of the week, you can't guarantee it would happen. In fact, when Nathan Perry had a storefront, he'd always have cookers set out in front of a storefront, always cooking something. Mm-hmm. It would be more appropriate in Arizona or, you know, Southern California. But, you know, it's informal. There's no, I mean, it wouldn't even be a non-for-profit. It would just be a, you know, come as you are kind of a museum.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. If somebody listens who is just beginning, mm-hmm. what would you suggest for the first steps?
Sure. I would absolutely start with solarcookers.org, the Solar Cookers International website. That is simply exhaustive. Tom Spanheim, as a volunteer, has just done the work of 10 people to put that together. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
If you start there, you will be steered in the right direction. You know, if you're interested in promoting it into countries where they need to stop deforestation, 15, 20, 100, I don't know how many examples of groups that are actively on the ground doing that.
Yeah.
You're just interested in tinkering, they've got all the plans that are publicly available. If you wanted to just buy to use, all the manufacturers are on there. Mm-hmm. And that wiki for SCI is just fantastic. So I'd start there and then start to reach out. Get on the main Facebook pages. Just say, hey, I'm in wherever, Idaho. Who out there from Idaho is on? Let's get something going.
Yeah.
I recall Brian Sweetenham in South Africa. The first Facebook page he found was the Solar Cooking, not the Solar Cooker Worldwide Network. And he posts and says, hey, I'm in South Africa. Is there anyone else out there that's solar cooking? I forget what city he's in. And 2 days of no responses. And I felt so bad because here's these two other groups. And so I finally said, hey, Brian, you might want to post in these other two. And he posted in the other two. And, he couldn't shake him away with a stick. I mean, he had 4 or 5 other people in South Africa. So that's one of the best ways too. Right now, we're so few and far between still. It still feels kind of like a niche environmental concern, but that's going to change. Mm-hmm. And another thing people could try, we were talking about Ed Begley last night at the dinner mm-hmm. or at the restaurant, who's an American actor who had a series on cable for a while, all about his just maniacal environmental stuff. And he had solar cookers in several episodes. There have been a couple references in movies, one of which was negative, the one in that George Clooney movie. I don't know if you've seen that one. Mm-hmm. It's the men who stare at goats. Yeah, and it's horrible. It's just, if you saw that and that's all you knew of solar cooking, you'd say, well, it's a fraud.
Yeah.
But if you saw a movie like Secret Ballot, which in the middle of that, it's a woman who goes around asking people to cast their votes in an election in Iran, you know, all these places that can only be reached by a plane going out to an island and then a jeep with a soldier to make sure she's safe. And in the middle of it all, she reaches this fellow who's doing solar research on this island. And he says, you know, he doesn't really have time for that. He's not into politics. And hang on a sec, I have to get my solar tea. And he walks over to this this parabolic where it's clearly made out of the insides of Coca-Cola cans or something, and it's piping hot coming mm-hmm. right off of that, and he pours his tea. I mean, we need if we had more of that, it'd become a little bit more, you know, mainstream. Yes, you know,
of course.
Mm-hmm. And not to say we got to have, you know, Diane Keaton or, you know, yeah. Tom Hanks yeah. doing it, but yeah. we'll take it. You know,
yes, of course. Great. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you expect from this conference?
Well, I hope to learn from the experts. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm an interloper. I mean, I'm collecting and I'm fascinated by it. I think I'm doing well by what I've learned so far. Mm-hmm. I've designed a couple cookers myself, one that I've taken Barbacare's through the wall design and tried to make it like a window right flush up against mm-hmm. the wall of my garage. So I have to learn how to make more of them on my own, mm-hmm. because one thing I've discovered collecting them is someone might come up with a really great design, but if they don't quite have the marketing or they don't understand the market, don't understand where to market it to, it dies. And so sometimes they're not available. They're like a really nice cooker that I'd like to get, and mm-hmm. I either have to find it on eBay or reverse engineer it myself, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll do that if I know I can't buy it, but I do. If someone has it for offer, I want to pay them what they want because they deserve mm-hmm. What they've asked for. I mean, they've gone to the trouble of all the thought that went into it and finding the right suppliers of the materials. I mean, that's yes. I'm too lazy for that. Yes. I mean, I'm lazy for some things and I'm energetic for others. Well,
mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah. So I hope to get that, make some of those connections where maybe I'll know someone from the conference that's from Missouri, and I run into from someone from Missouri and connect them.
Yeah.
It's the Malcolm Gladwell story about the connectors. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't have to do all the real heavy lifting. Just make sure the people that can do something like that together get connected.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Fine. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.